If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to Matthew 25, verse 13. Matthew 25, verse 13. It says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." The second coming of Jesus Christ is the great, it is the supreme event of the future. No other future event in the Bible is so anticipated and so universally loved as this great message of the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is the blessed hope of the future, but the Bible also tells us that it's our individual future. That's our hope this morning, is that one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. And he's going to come back for his church. I try every day to wake up, and the first thing that crosses my mind is the fact, Lord, it's a good day for you to come. It's a good day. I like what Alexander McLaren said. He said, "The apostolic church thought more about the second coming of Christ than the death, or then about death or heaven. The early Christians were not looking for a cleft in the ground called a grave. They were looking for a cleavage in the sky called glory. They were watching not for the undertaker, but for the uptaker." I like that. Amen. The uptaker. The Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Sooner than we think, he's coming again. I want to kind of throw out a note of warning. The Bible says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." That they were building, they were selling, they were marrying and giving in marriage. It was business as usual. And they had heard the message of Noah, but they didn't listen. They were warned, but they didn't pay heed to the fact of the warning. And the Bible said, as it was then, that's the way it's going to be now, in this day in which we live. You see, people don't really stop and consider the fact that the Lord might come today. Today. Today would be a good day for him to come. I thought as I looked and, you know, I saw blue sky and I saw the sun. I said, boy, it'd be a good day for the Lord to split the eastern sky and come back. And one of these days, he's going to come. You know, I don't want to know, but I do know that his coming is soon, because the Bible lets me know that. And any serious student of the Bible will know that the day of the Lord is coming. We need to be prepared for it. Don't get caught short. The Bible teaches that Jesus will return, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and they shall be rewarded, and he shall reward every man according to his works." Now, he's not talking about an individual work here, isolated work. He's talking about a life of works. You see, a child of God is one that is faithful every day. Every day they are faithful to the Lord, and they're serving, they're working, they're laboring, for the night is coming when no man can work. He said, "For the dead, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." Revelation 1:7 said, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him." Pierced him. You see, there were individuals that pierced him on the cross that day. And when we see Jesus, we will see the scars in his hands and his feet of those nail prints. We'll see that riven side, and then we'll see those scars where the crown of thorns was pushed down upon his head. You see, those that pierced him. You say, well, Carl, it was the Jews that did it. They turned against him. He came into his own, but his own received him not. The Romans did it. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man, but he gave him over to be crucified. But you know, we were there too. Our sins were there, and we caused him to die upon the cross because he loved you and he loved me. And so he took the cross. He endured the shame, the pain, the agony, all that he went through that day. Because he loved you and me, our sins were there. The angels, when Jesus Christ was ascending back to heaven after the 40 days on the earth after his resurrection, he went up into the clouds, the Bible said, and they were straining to get a last look at him. He was going back to the Father, going back to heaven. He had done the work that God the Father had called him to do. He died upon the cross, made salvation possible for every man. Not willing that any should perish. And they were straining to see him that last time. And the angel of the Lord said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into the heavens? For this same Jesus that you see ascending into heaven is going to come again in like manner as you've seen him go. All the gospel writers taught that Jesus is coming the second time. But the Bible also teaches that the time of the second coming is unknown. In Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. In fact, the Bible tells us he's going to come back as a thief in the night. Now, he's not trying to catch us unaware. That's not his purpose. But because people are so preoccupied with life and living and what they're doing down here and how important all of that is, they neglect to get ready, they neglect to hear the word of God, and they come to that time when he comes back and they're not ready. Not ready. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The New Testament writers had an attitude of expectancy. You know, there were some during the disciples' days, they thought his coming was so imminent that many of them just stopped working. And they sat down and they became a burden to the church. But they believed he was coming in their generation. I believe he's coming in mine, don't you? I just don't know how he can wait. I don't know how he can put it off any longer. I believe he's coming back in our generation. But even if he doesn't, he's coming back. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that the rapture of the church, that life will be going on and it'll be business as usual, But the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come, and he's going to take his children home. All of a sudden, they're going to be gone. And when the church is out, then that's when the Antichrist will be revealed. That's when the Antichrist will certainly come to great power, and the whole earth will bow down before him. You see, we live during difficult times. But the children of God, those that die in the Lord, are going to be resurrected first. You know, when we go and we bury somebody that's a loved one, the Lord hasn't forgotten them. He's coming and going to get them first. And the soul that went on to heaven will be reunited with that body. And they will be given an incorruptible body. Isn't that wonderful? To know that you're going to have a new body. You know, if there's anything that a pastor does, it's deal with sickness. You know. And the reason we deal with sickness is because we've got bodies that have been marred by sin, and we're reaping. If Adam hadn't sinned and if we hadn't sinned, it wouldn't be like this, but we did. And God made provision, didn't he? But one of these days, you're going to have a new body. And we're going to have a new head of hair, aren't we, Dennis? I just couldn't help but do that. Dennis, I believe that we're going to be handsome. You know? You know, heaven is perfect. Perfect. I'm looking forward to going there. The Bible said every eye shall see him. Now, I don't know just how the Lord's going to work that out. Have you ever thought about if he comes here in America? And I'll kind of gauge everything by America, but it's probably going to be more towards Israel. But folks on the other side of the world, God said they'll all see. I don't know how he'll do it, but he'll do it. Everybody's going to see him when he comes back the second time. Every eye. And every ear, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You say, Carl, how's he going to do that? You remember when he came to Lazarus, he had been dead for 4 days, and he said, move the stone. They said, Lord, he's already started to stink, you know? If we open that, it's going to be a terrible odor. But he said, roll back the stone. And he had the grave clothes on. He was already deteriorating. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Yes. And he got up. Yes. And he walked out of that tomb. He was alive. I don't know just how it's going to be if I die before the Lord comes and I'm in that grave on that great resurrection day of the rapture. Don't stand on my grave because I'm coming out. Isn't that good news to know you don't have to stay in that place? And then I'll, you know, when I die, I'll already be in heaven anyway. I just, that old body. And, you know, I don't really care about that, this old body. It kind of gets a little bit hard to carry around, doesn't it? Well, this same Jesus, the one who ascended to heaven, is the one that's coming back for his children. This same Jesus. His coming will be as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west. You know, in cemeteries, most of you probably know this, but all the graves, when they're placed in the grave and in the casket, they're always, the head is pointed toward the east. Because one of these days, the Lord is going to break through that eastern sky. And he's going to come back and every eye shall see him. Those that are dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible. He's going to come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the meaning of the second coming of Jesus is stated very clearly in the Bible. It'll be a time when he will reign, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. The Lord's coming back to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is King, isn't he? He is Lord, and he's coming back. And if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, though, he will deny us also. That's what the Bible says. He'll deny us. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together all of his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. You don't have to worry about him forgetting you, do you? You know, you say, Carl, I'm just so insignificant. Yes, we all are. Hey, we're all nothing. But in God, we're something. And he said, I'm going to come back for you. And he'll find every one of us. And he's going to take us home to that place he's prepared for those that love him. Well, the chain of events. The next thing on the agenda, the calendar, is the rapture of the church. I don't know just when it will be, but it's coming. And I think it's a lot sooner than what most folks think. Then after the rapture, the Antichrist will be revealed. After the church being out, he'll be able to have his way. And he is simply Satan personified. And he will sign a peace treaty with the nation of Israel for 7 years. A time of peace. And during the first 3.5 years, he will be a man of peace. He has a bow, but no arrows. He's a man of peace, but it doesn't stay that way long. After 3.5 years and after they rebuild the temple, then he comes in and he puts the image of himself in the house of God, what the Bible calls the abomination of desolation. And when the peace treaty is signed, the world kind of starts out on the clock. 7 years, 7 years. At the end of the tribulation period, there will be a reign of Christ, a forced reign, when Satan is bound for 1,000 years. And at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is loosed. And the Bible tells us that he gathers together the armies of the world for one last pitched battle against God, good against evil. Good so triumphs that the Bible said that the carnage was that the blood flowed for 200 miles, the height of a horse's bridle. God is going to be victorious. God has made preparation for the salvation of every soul. Not everybody's going to be saved. But they had the opportunity because God in his mercy and grace has made provision. All you have to do is accept him. Accept him. You see, there's coming a day when the angel of God will come down from heaven like a flash of lightning, and he'll put one foot on the land, another foot on the sea, and he'll pull out that trumpet, and he will blow a blast that will be heard throughout all the universe. And then he will cry out, "Time shall be no more." At that time, all the business, all the pleasure, all the machinery of work, everything will come to a screeching halt. And on that day, the things that were of value yesterday will be of no value today. That blast of the trumpet will cause the heavens to begin to melt away. And all that we've had under our feet that have been so solid and so dependable, everything will be gone. It'll all be gone. It'll be behind us. As the earth collapses and melts away with the fervent heat, those souls, those bodies that are in the grave, that are the unsaved dead, are going to be called out. Oh, they won't want to come. They won't want the rocks in the mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the presence of him that sits on the throne. But they will be called out, and their souls will come from hell. And they'll be reunited. And they'll stand before God for the great white throne judgment. You see, I'm here to tell you this morning that you need to be ready. He's coming. Are you ready? He's coming. Are you ready to meet him? Are your sins forgiven? Is your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life? Remember. That's all that we do as a preacher, is put you in remembrance. The Bible is there. You can read it. You know what it says. Remember. Put it into practice in your life. Remember, because he is coming again. Bow with me.